live.
Blog Talk Radio.
I know that it seems sometimes that no matter what you do, no matter how hard you work, striving to make things better in your life, but for some reason you're not getting nowhere. Well, I want you to turn to the one next to you and tell them, you tried your way, it didn't work, no. You put him second,
yeah,
and put you first.
Oh, yeah.
You trusted friends, thought they had your back.
Oh.
And every time you turn around, it seems you're under attack. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But turn to your neighbor and say,
hey,
see the devil is a lie.
Hey,
no, I'm not gonna die.
Hey,
it's okay to cry,
hey,
cause he's by your side.
Hey,
you gotta stop that hating.
Hey,
I know you don't wanna hear it.
Hey,
gotta fast and pray and listen to the Spirit. Cause
I'm trying to tell me
he's speaking to your heart right now.
I'm trying to tell me
just listen to the Spirit. Oh,
I'm trying to tell me.
Hold up. Your bills are due, and all the people you helped did not want to help you. I talked to my mother,
and she said, pray about.
I talked to my pastor,
and she said, pray about.
But I was so blinded by all my disaster. I wish you would just tell your neighbor, tell them for me. See, the devil is a liar. No, you're not gonna die. It's okay to cry, cause he's by your side. You gotta stop that hating. I know you don't wanna hear it. Gotta fast and pray and listen to the Spirit, y'all. He's speaking to your heart right now. Just listen to the Spirit, oh. I was in my own way,
but I'm here to tell you without his face I'm a major failure.
So if you got problems, know that you can't fix it. Just give it to Jesus. How can I get a witness and tell him, say, that the devil is a liar? You gotta listen to the Spirit. Whoa. To get your attention right now. I know you got your own plan, but God's got a better one. No.
Listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. And this is Taking It to the Streets. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Taking It to the Streets for this Monday, November the 30th, 2020. Now, I'm your host, Bishop Shalene Cook. I'm also the founder of No Bounds Global Outreach Ministries, which is the home of the Spirit Alive Network and the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, which airs right here on the Transformation Station each and every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Central, and 12 noon Eastern. At the top of the program, you heard Pastor Marvin Sapp with Listen. And as always, we begin each and every program with a word of prayer. So won't you please bow with me as we go to the Lord. Oh, Most High, we come singing praises to your holy name. Father, we just thank you for another opportunity to come together and worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the mighty woman of God on this evening, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that the people of God will receive, hallelujah, and retain everything that you say through her. And Lord, may they apply it to their lives so that they might truly live that abundant life in you. And Father God, if someone doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, we pray that on tonight they would come and ask you to be their Lord and Savior. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify you and we glorify you. And it is in the mighty, matchless, undefeated, immutable name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Well, saints of God, good evening, good evening, good evening. If you are under the sound of my voice right now, you are in for a blessing. Because on tonight, I have joining me a mighty woman of God in the person of Dr. Anisha Mathis. Now listen, she first came to us. This wonderful woman first burst on our scene during the conference, hallelujah, that we had. And this sister right here, she came and she turned it out. And as I told her earlier today, she is just one of these sisters that that they do it for me. You know, we all have our pastors that we love to hear preach, and she is just one of these pastors that do it for me. So she comes to us with a very impressive bio, but I'm not going to take the time to read that bio. What I am going to do is just ask for Dr. Anisha to come forth, and she will tell us a few words about herself in her own way, and then we will receive a word from the Lord. So before we begin the message, Doctor, why don't you tell us in your own words just a little bit about yourself?
Well, thank you so much, Bishop, for your gracious words. I really appreciate it. And praise God for those of you that are here with us on tonight. A little bit about myself. As you said, I am a pastor. I do ministry as a pastor, but I also do counseling and coaching and mentoring. I have Defining Moments, which we are on every Monday night for Defining Moments for Victorious Living as part of the TV network program. And also being able to just really minister to God's people. I'm also a mental health certified instructor for those who are seeking mental health services. God has blessed me to be able to minister not only to the church, but I'll say it like this, to our community as a whole. Oftentimes in leadership, we forget that we really need to minister to the whole body of our community, not just within the four walls of the church. And so God has blessed me to be able to do that. I believe last month we also touched on and talked a little bit about domestic violence and how it affects us in our communities and how it affects us in our church. I've been doing domestic violence counseling and advocacy for over 10 years now. I myself, as I like to say, have done three tours of duty, as you will see, of domestic violence. God has brought me out of each and every single situation, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful to be able to share the word as a teacher and as a preacher. It is one thing to pastor. It's another thing to preach. It's another thing to teach. And it's a great opportunity and a great blessing to be able to do it all, fivefold ministry. Oftentimes we have leaders that are missing one or the other, but when God blesses you and calls you, he gives you the giftings and the abilities to be able to do that. Because, again, It's all about ministering to the whole person, not just the church, but the community. Why have I said that several times? Because it's important for us to know that in this season, in order for the community to be saved, to be delivered, to be made whole, to be set free, those of us who have been called for such a time as this, those of us who have Christ in our lives, as we say, are filled and baptized, sanctified, and that with fire, as we say, with the Holy Spirit, we have a responsibility to be able to reach the community. And oftentimes it is not with the Bible thumping, but it's about what God has brought us through. It is what God is giving us, the gifts, talents, and abilities. And so I have a great opportunity to remind people of that, and I am excited about that, excited about what God is doing. But need I say, or I would like to say, that no matter what our resumes look like, or whether it is naturally or spiritually, it really boils down to our relationship with God, not religion. Because anyone can look good on a bio, but what is our relationship like with God? So I'm grateful to be able to have a relationship with him and to continue to move forward and be grateful enough that he's called me, called us for such a time as this. And I'm excited on tonight because I've been given the opportunity and the time as Bishop so graciously have given unto me to share the word of God with you on tonight, to share his heart and his mind. And even as we spoke earlier today and just being in prayer, what is it that you want me to share, God, with your people? Because oftentimes we can make the mistake of saying what we want to share, what we want to give to the people, what we want to say, or what scripture we want to share. But when you want to have the heart of God, the will of God, and the mind of God, we always go to him and ask him, God, what are you saying in this season to your people? What is it that you want to say? So I'm excited tonight because I know of a certainty that God has given me something to share with you all on tonight. And so as we're going through the word of God on tonight, I pray that your hearts and minds will be open, that the will and the mind of God will be made available and known to you, or that you will receive confirmation. As a pastor, I am a teacher by heart, by nature, always have been since a child. So this will be a little bit of what we call preaching, some preaching and teaching, if you will. I would ask for those of you that are with us on tonight, and I always say this, never trust, no matter how anointed you think the person is that is sharing the word of God, never just suppose that they are giving it to you right, but open up the word of God for yourself. So I'm going to ask that those of you that are with us on tonight, if you will get your Bibles and if you will open up the word of God as we're sharing on tonight, as I'm sharing with you the heart of God. Look at your Bible. If you don't have a paper Bible, then maybe perhaps you have it electronically on your iPad, your computer, or your cell phone. But I want you to get the word of God and see it for yourself, what thus saith the Lord. Also, for those of you that like to utilize your journals or your notebooks or notepads, perhaps you may want to utilize it to write down notes that the Holy Spirit reveals to you as he is using me to share the word of God on tonight and what God is speaking to your heart and your mind. But just know of a surety that tonight, this night that you are here with us, it is not just because you have been a part of this for the time frame that Bishop has been doing this or that she's asked or invited you to be on, but this is your defining moment. What do I mean by that? I simply mean that this is a moment in time that has been defined for you where God is speaking specifically and strategically to you individually and to us as a whole. God is letting us know his heart, his mind, and his voice, and his will on tonight. And it is very incumbent that we pay attention to what God is speaking to us and that we are not only hearing, but that we are listening. Not only are we listening, but we are making sure that we are going to be obedient to what God has called us to do for such a time as this, and that we are saying yes, totally surrendering ourselves to God. We do not have a lot of time. I want to say that and express that to you. If you write nothing else down, this you should write down. We do not have a lot of time. We are definitely in the 11:59th hour, simply meaning that we have 1 minute. We have 60 seconds to determine if we want to be in religion or relationship and if we are going to do the will of God, come hell or high water, and no matter what others have to say or think. It's very important that you get this, that you understand that the hour is very late and that God would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to see exactly what God is saying and to do exactly what God is calling us to do, line upon line and precept upon precept, not wavering to the left or to the right, but focusing straight ahead to what God has purpose for us to do. For many of us, that is a challenge simply because we have been used to having things recycled in the body of Christ. What do I mean by that? I simply mean that we are recycling and doing the same things redundantly over and over again, how we teach, how we preach. And now we have been challenged with COVID. We've been challenged with how we do ministry or how the world system has presented to us that we should do ministry. But it's all because God wants to capture our hearts, our minds, and our attentiveness to him so that we can be about our Father's business. There is nothing, no plague, no disease, no issue, no virus, nothing that the enemy, the God of this world, Satan, the certified crazy one as I call him, can do to stop or hinder the will and the mind and the heart of God and the work that God has given us to do unless we deem it to be so, meaning unless we surrender and wave the red flag to the enemy and say, I quit. So we have to understand that what God has given you to do, my dear brothers and sisters, is nothing like we've ever seen before. God has slated you for this season. This is your defining moment. God has given you the opportunity to listen to him and to carry out what he's called you to do. And yes, it may seem unorthodox, but it's just within the reins and the will of God. It may seem unusual, but God has called you to do it because no one can do it like you. No one can be it like you. No one can say it. No one can teach it. No one can preach it. No one can pray it. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, this is your hour. This is your defining moment. This is your season. So I am excited to share the word of God with you tonight because I know of a surety that it is in line with the season that we are in. I am going to be sharing with you the scripture from 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. Once again, it is a strategy that God wants us to understand. And for many of us, we're familiar with this passage of scripture. And I wanted to come back to this again simply because God wants us to see something in this that we often overlook. So for those of you that have your Bibles and those of you that may not have it or may not be able to access it, please write down the scriptures and please write down that this is my defining moment. This is your defining moment on tonight because God is speaking to you. We're going to be looking at 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. I am going to focus on one particular scripture on tonight, but then I'm also going to backtrack, meaning that I'm going to go through a few other passages of scripture in 2 Chronicles 20, just so that we can see what God is saying to us tonight. If we are going to use a thought for tonight, for this particular session, for this defining moment, it is simply the miracle of strategies. The miracle of strategies. God wants us to have strategy in this season. The miracle of strategies. I'm going to be reading and you're hearing from 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, verse number 25. And then from there, I am going to read through a few other passages of scripture in this particular chapter. God wants us to see the importance of strategy in this hour. I don't know about you, but I have had the opportunity to speak with many people and have even gone to God and continue to seek him in prayer for his direction and guidance in this season. And there are many people in the body of Christ that are troubled now because the things that have begun to happen in 2020 and as we're going into 2021, it looks as if there's not going to be a lot of change, even though many people are speaking it, many people are expecting it and believing it. But we must understand that the word and the will of God will be fulfilled for his purpose and his time and his season. And God's word is prophetically being fulfilled right before our very eyes. We are right dab in the middle of the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, the book of Matthew, Zechariah, Zephaniah. Need I go on? We are in the middle of God's prophetic word being fulfilled. So we must be spiritually conscious and awake to the things that God is trying to reveal to us. Many of you may not catch this, but just right now we have entered into another dimension of the spirit realm because God has shifted the spirit because many of us, God is bringing us up to what he's saying. And so when we look at 2 Chronicles 20 and the verse that I'm getting ready to share with you, and as I share various passages of scripture in this chapter, God wants us to understand that what we've been praying for and asking God to show us what to do, show us how to stand, give us direction, give us clarity of what's going on. God, where am I? What is my purpose? God, how do I handle this? And God, I'm afraid. Or God, what do we do about COVID? There are many prayers and petitions and questions and concerns that have been going up to God during the time that we've been in. And there are many leaders, there are many people that sit in high positions as bishops, as apostles, as pastors, and many other various places or positions that they are in, but they are highly respected. But I've heard and had to hear and pray with and try to really comfort and encourage those that are in these positions because they are not sure as to what is happening or what God is doing or where they need to go next. God is simply saying to us, from the least, so-called least, to the greatest of us, that God simply wants us to understand the miracle in a strategy. God wants us to understand the importance of strategy or strategic strategy, in order to get to where God would have us to be and to do what God would have us to do in this season. You are a very intricate part of the revival in this season, one that humanity has never seen before, never experienced before, but yet God has caused you, us, to be in this time and season to do a work. My dear brothers and sisters, please do not allow Satan, the certified crazy one, make you feel or think anything different or less than. If you weren't a key official in the body of believers in this time, it doesn't matter if you have a man-made title or not, if you weren't a key official in this season, you would not be here. But God meant for us to be here because he has a work for us to do, to carry out, but it is going to take strategy. It's very important that we understand the strategic strategy that we have used up to this very precise defining moment would not work for what God has for us to do coming up in the next season. What I simply mean is that how we have prayed, how we have worshiped, how we have fasted, how we have consecrated, how we have sought God will not work because God wants us to understand it is going to take another type of strategic strategy. In other words, in order for you to see the miracles of God's movement upon the land, within your community, within your homes, within your ministries, within your personal lives, within your families, whatever it is that you're seeking God for, whatever it is that God has called you to and for in this season, it is going to take strategy. For you to see the miracles, it is going to take strategy. For you to see any miracle, it is going to take strategy. Go with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, as I stated. In your hearing, I'm going to be reading verse number 25, and then I'm going to go back and read a few more scriptures so that we can get an idea of what God is saying to us tonight. I hope thus far that you are yet with me. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 25, it says, "And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much." Now, the reason why we are looking at this particular verse first before anything else, many of us are familiar with 2 Chronicles 20. We're familiar with what Jehoshaphat had against him with the children of Moab and Ammon. We are familiar with the fact that he was fearful enough so much so until he went to God in prayer and took all of the people with him. But what we forget about or what we often overlook, and we often talk about the other passages of scriptures that I will share with you shortly, we forget about the miracle that took place or the miracles that took place because of strategy or strategic strategy. In order for us to be able to survive, in order for us to be able to remain sure-footed, rooted and grounded in the foundational relationship, not religion, relationship with God, it is going to take strategy. Many of us have found ourselves, if we're very transparent and authentic, hear me when I say this now. Do not let the enemy twist your mind. Hear me well when I say this. Many of us have found ourselves in places where we thought of a surety, Isha, Badarosa, that we were in relationship with God. But we found out that we are in many areas of our lives just in religion. And my dear brothers and sisters, this is a very critical thing for us to come to understand and know. And it's very critical and crucial that we understand this and that we make the change and the transition from religion to relationship, whatever area in our lives that we have deemed that to be so. Because in order for us to operate and function in strategy for the miracles, or to see miracles with strategy, we are going to have to make sure that our relationship with God is set on a solid foundation. In other words, we found ourselves with thought processes or behavioral traits or ideologies that are not scriptural, are not Bible-based, but we have utilized them. We have taught a certain way. We have believed certain things. We have said certain things regarding situations or circumstances or individuals that are just not scripture. And God is simply saying, and I'm getting this right now as I'm sharing this with you, I hear you, Holy Spirit, when God says you have to shift away from that and come into a full foundational relationship with me. I hope you are hearing me. When we talk about the definition of strategy, biblically, so when we look at it, it is the science of military command or the science of projecting campaigns and directing great military movements. It is about generalship. Let me share that with you again. It is the science of military command or the science of projecting campaigns and directing great military movements. It is generalship. We must understand who we are as a body of believers collectively and individually. We must understand that Satan, the certified crazy one, cannot take anything. He may attempt to do so. He may attempt to steal, kill, and destroy, but he cannot take anything from us unless we yield or surrender it to him. He cannot take away our lives, our eternal lives that God has blessed us with through his son, Jesus Christ, unless we surrender it. But when we have strategic strategy, when we have the science of military command, when we project or have the campaign and we know that the campaign is about victory, we've already been given the victory. How do I know that? Simply because when we read the Word of God, when we look through the book of Revelation, we find out that God has already given us the victory. We already have eternal life, and God has already planned for us to meet him at the dinner table with him. He has already planned for us and already made opportunity for us to be victorious. So in this military campaign, this warfare, this spiritual warfare that we experience, such as we see here with Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel, we must understand that in order for us to make it to that victory, in order for us to be able to maintain that victory, we must have strategy in the warfare, meaning that we must direct great military movements and understand our generalship. Understand that we are generals, that we are not some low man on the totem pole. It doesn't matter whether we have a man-made title or no. We must understand who we are in the body of Christ. We must understand who we are in the spirit realm. And therefore, we must understand that God has already given us the victory, and he wants us to understand that in order to see the miracles that God has planned for you and I, for us in this season, we must operate in strategy. And when it says here, as we get to the end of this chapter, it says that they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. How is it that Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel were able to take away spoil? And it was so much until it took them 3 days. It was simply because of strategy. As we go back and as we backtrack in this chapter, we will see that they were given specific strategies or specific strategic strategies in order to be able to come to a place of victory or to see the victory that God had already planned and purposed for them. In other words, you may want to write this down in your journal or write this down on your notepad. God has already given you the victory. God has already given us the victory. God has already made it so for us, but we must function in a strategic mindset. We must function strategically in order to see that miracle of the victory that God has already planned and purposed and meted out for us. So when we see here that Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel, they were able to receive what was once the enemy. You know, the word of God says to us that we, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And we oftentimes, or we have, I put it to you like this, we have spent an enormous amount of time. We have spent years and generations as a body of believers as a whole. I not speak individually or point anyone out, just as a whole, we have purposely pursued riches. We have purposely pursued platforms. We have purposely pursued titles and names and recognition. And we have forgotten and fallen away from relationships. See, we have to understand that in this season of strategy, relationship, I come back and bring that back to you again, is very important. Because in order for you to have strategy, in order for you to see the miracles and have the strategy, there must be a solid relationship with God and not religion. In other words, God is not Santa Claus. He is not the Easter Bunny. He is not the sugar daddy. We can't just go and pick up to him and cry out to him and pull on his coattail because we want this and we need that. Relationship says, I love you no matter what you do or don't do. Relationship says, I worship you and I praise you. I seek you because I want to know your heart. I want to know your mind. I long for you, God. I thank you and I'm grateful that you sent your only begotten Son. I am grateful, Lord Jesus, that your body was broken for me, that your blood was spilled and shed for me. Moses was told by God that when I see the blood, I will pass over. Psalms 91 tells us that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I hope you all are getting this and hearing me. And so when we find out that the blood of Jesus Christ has not changed, it is very important. It is key, especially in this season, because in order for us to be able to have the strategy and to see the miracles, we must have a relationship and we must be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, even though the scripture does not say this to us, we have an identification or an ideology that they were covered by the blood. They were covered by the blood. They were covered by God's presence because they were victorious in this battle, a battle that they did not ask for. Now, think about it. When you look at your life, when you look at just in the last 6 months, when you look at yourself in the last 90 days, when you look at your life for just 2020 alone, how many times has a battle come to your doorstep that you did not ask for? How many times have you found yourself in the midst of a horrible spiritual warfare that you did not ask for? Sometimes we do not see coming, or we've seen it coming, but we cannot stop it. But all we can do is stand in the midst and try to maintain our spiritual balance and our foundational relationship with God. But yet somehow when you turn around and you look, before you know it, it is over. Before you even know that it's over. And you find yourself coming out on top. You may be a little bruised. You may be a little worn, maybe a little tattered. You may have to come in on pieces of the ship, but you've come through. So when we look at this, we often talk about that famous scripture or the verse that we often read in this chapter. And it says here in verse number 15, we're still in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 15. I hope you are yet with me. So in verse number 20, chapter 20, verse 15, it says, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Listen, we often have heard it preached. We've heard it taught. We've heard it shared in Bible studies. We've heard it shared in Sunday school and any other platform, motivational speaking. We have shared and stopped at that particular verse that the battle is not yours, but the Lord. We don't look at the miracles of the strategy that came along with that because, see, we have to understand, and I'll put it to you like this, whenever we receive a prophetic word, it is very important that we know of a surety that the prophetic word, when it's spoken by the right vessel, male or female, and they are operating from the heart, will, and mind, and voice of God, the word has already come true. The word has already been made to be victorious in your life. It has not yet manifested. What we often miss and what we get upset about is that when the word of God does not manifest itself the way that it was presented to us, we are upset with God. We're upset with the vessel of God that spoke the prophetic word. But you must understand that the critical thing in this particular verse that you don't see with your natural naked eye is spiritually so with saying the battle is not yours, but God, simply meaning that God has already given you the victory, but there is something that you are going to need to do in order to see the victory of God's battle. So strategy is in order for you to see that the battle is God, in order for you to see the miracle of the battle being victorious or coming out victorious in this, there's something that you are going to have to do. Now, I want to also remind us that when we go back and we look, and oftentimes we forget what happened with Jehoshaphat before we even get to chapter number 20. When you go back and look at chapter number 19, and I want you to write it down, and I admonish and challenge you to go back and look at that again. When you look at chapter number 19, there were some things, key things, some specific things that Jehoshaphat set in order to bring the children of Israel back into a balanced relationship with God, not religion. They were functioning up to this very point in time in religion, meaning that they served God and the other gods of the land, and God had already, always, since the beginning, forbidden them to do so. And so Jehoshaphat set things in order spiritually. In other words, he, in chapter 19, utilized a strategy in order to get to chapter 20 as we get to the end. Oh, you got to see this for what it really is. And so now when we get here to chapter 20, because Jehoshaphat decided to make sure that the right priest was set in place, to make sure that the children of Israel were worshiping and serving God and offering to God in a manner that they had been taught generations before that they should have kept and maintained, they had not. He was bringing them back to the place of their many had gotten away from the foundational truths of God. And so when we begin to function in that manner, Satan, the certified crazy one, is going to come for you. He's going to come for us. That is something that we cannot avoid. But we must understand and realize and remember that God will always give us strategy in every spiritual warfare battle that comes against us. We will always see a miracle or miracles because of strategy. No warfare has ever been fought and been victorious without strategy. That is spiritually and that is naturally. You can look at it in the Word of God and you can look at it in human American history. Strategy is always the order of the day in order for us to maintain or obtain and maintain victory. And so now in verse number 15, we stop at that and says that don't be dismayed by reason of this battle because this great multitude, because it is not yours. It is, but it's but God's. It's God's will. This is God's heart and mind. This is God's business. But when you go back to the very beginning of chapter 20, you find out Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel are fearful. Now, how many of you will be honest with yourself and say that I never considered or never really thought about why Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel were so fearful of what was coming against them? Why were they afraid of what was happening? Why were they so concerned? Why was Jehoshaphat fearful? Jehoshaphat is the king. He is the leader of the children of Israel, of the nation of God's people. And as soon as he heard say that these people were coming against him, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other nations were coming against him, it didn't say that he said, let's set up and let's suit up for battle. It said that Jehoshaphat feared. He was fearful. That means he was afraid. He was nervous. He was doubtful. He was concerned about what was coming against him and against his people. Have you ever asked yourself, why was he so fearful? Now, if you go back in scripture, in history, you will find out that God did not allow the children of Israel, or he did not fight for them to destroy the children of Ammon at the time that they were trying to cross over out of the wilderness into the promised land. God set them in a specific place and time and season for destruction. The other thing you must understand is that the fierceness of the people that were coming against them was greater than what you could ever imagine. These people, the children of Ammon, the children of Moab, and others that were with them, they were people that were known to be fierce, to be brutal, to be beasts, to love to make sure that they tortured anyone that they got their hands on. They were a fierce people. They were people of tall stature. And also they were family members removed from generations and then coming up to first, second, third, fifth cousins, aunties, uncles, and cousins. So you have a mixture of a people that hated the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, with a hatred that was uncalled for. But you also had a people that were fierce, more fierce than the children of the nation of Israel, because they weren't really, really keen or trained for battle, if you will, to a certain extent, as these people were. Jehoshaphat understood that if God didn't intervene, they were not going to be able to make it. They would not survive. You have to understand in this season, unless you seek God for a strategy and receive strategy in order to see the miracles of God upon your life, in your ministry, in your community, it will not happen. So again, I say to us is that how we have been praying is not going to work for this season. How we have been worshiping God is not going to work for this season, because we have often gotten used to just saying the same words repetitively over and over again and have an expectation that God is going to do something different. We give God some of our time, but most of our time goes to other things, you know, television, reality shows, this thing, that thing, this issue. But God is requiring more time for us in order for us to hear his heart, to know his mind and his will, to get and obtain the strategy that we need to be victorious, to see the miracles that God has for us. Oh, I know what the society, says. I understand what the doctors are saying and what the nurses are saying and what the political climate is like. I understand all of these things. But can I remind us that no matter what is happening in this world system, God is still the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's still the creator of the universe. He is still in control of everything. And he has blessed us and assigned us in this season to not only receive the miracles and not only to be strategic in what we're doing, but to be blessed and to be a blessing to others. It is our lot. It is our assignment in this season. So we must understand to focus on this, because if we lose sight of this and we lose focus on this, we have to answer to God for that, because there's an expectation. The expectation is simply this: my daughter, my son, I placed you in this season for such a time as this. I have an expectation that you will carry out that which I have purposed for you to do. I have an expectation that you will worship me in a manner that's going to bring you from the levels in which you have been comfortable in, and to rise up in the dimensions that you can hear me in a manner that you've not heard me before, to praise me and to seek me like you've never sought me before, so that you can come to a place to know me, because yet you do not know me in the manner that I would like for you to know me. And it's important that you get to know me in order to have the strategy and to see the miracles. It's really simple. There's not a science to it. But what has happened is that we have become slowful. Jeshurun has waxed fat and said, I am okay where I am. And God, I just want more for me and for my house, and not for the community, not for the body of believers. And God is not pleased with that. He wants us to understand the importance of strategy. So Jehoshaphat hears the prophetic word and said, the battle is not yours, but God. Do not be dismayed. But underlying in that, there is a key thing. There is a strategy that must take place in this. So now we get this, what we see here, that he says here after this. Now, oftentimes we skip this part and we just talk about the battle is not yours, but it's God's. And everyone gets excited. We shout. We praise God, jump up and down, turn around, do flips, whatever else that we've done in the body of Christ throughout the years and generations. But you must understand that directly after this, right up on the heels of the prophetic word of encouragement, God says, this is what I want you to do. And now he says here, he says in verse number 16, he says, the next day, tomorrow, I want you to go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. Now, I'm telling you where your enemy is coming from. You can only get this by worshiping and praising God and seeking him. And then he says, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness in Jeriel. In other words, I am telling you where you will find them, where you will see them, because you need to know this in order to see the miracle of the victory, but I have to give you strategy. Then he says in verse number 17, he says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. See, we oftentimes take the battle upon ourselves. What do I mean by that? When we decide that we want to give someone a piece of our mind, when we decide we want to come up against the enemy, Satan the certified crazy one, was here long before we were ever here. My dear brothers and sisters, please do not ever mistake that you can be victorious over Satan. But God gives us strategy because he is the one that brings us through. So we cannot do it without the help of the Lord. So he says in verse number 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. So he told them specifically where the enemies will be coming from. When we go to God in prayer, when we go to God in worship, when we go to God in praise, when we go to God and we seek him in consecration, when we seek him in fasting, when we take communion with him, whether we're in the body of Christ or in our home, whether we're in the four walls of church or in our home, it is then that God gives us strategy to know where the enemy is coming from, what the enemy is utilizing against us, or not only against us and our households, but against our communities, against our ministries, against the ministries that we are a part of. We need that from God in order to see the miracles of victory. Listen, can I just tell you this, that we are on the very brink of some of the most miraculous things that we've ever seen in all of humanity. We are in a season and a time, where we are actually going to see the book of Mark being fulfilled right before our very eyes. What do I mean by that? In all of the Gospels, Mark depicts or shares more miracles and signs and wonders than any other gospel. Jesus shows himself to be a God of miracles. And so we need to see that. But in order for us to see that, it is going to take strategy from us. in order for us to have the miracles and the victory that God has for us in this season, in order to be able to bring the souls in, as Peter did on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved in that very day, that very morning. How many times have we seen many souls be saved as the churches were once open? We saw recycling every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Bible study, every time, every conference, every time we got together. But God is calling for us to do something more. He's calling for a strategy. He's calling for greater. He's calling for deeper. And this is where we are in this season. So it's more than just you don't need to fight the battle because it's God's, but God is saying, I want to give you strategy, son. I want to give you strategy, daughter, but you need to listen to what I'm telling you. So he says to them, you don't need to fight. So he encourages them again. And Jehoshaphat worshiped God, and the rest of the people worshiped God. But when we look at verse number 21, and we start there, it says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when, verse number 22, when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, and when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Listen, you have to understand that what God is saying to us is that what he's giving us to do in this season doesn't look like what it has been in seasons before. What once was is no more. And what shall be in this season. And what is going to be is going to manifest. But it's going to take us to be in a mindset of strategic strategy in order to see these miracles or this miraculous move of God in our lives. So when Jehoshaphat gave them the strategy, it seemed very crazy or unfamiliar or just downright not making sense. You want us to go out in front of the most fiercest enemies that we've ever had to encounter. We've been there before, and we barely won, and there were times that we lost and that we found ourselves struggling being in captivity. Now, you want us, Jehoshaphat, to put on our priestly gear and to stand before our enemies and to sing the praises of God and the beauty of his holiness and the greatness of his power, and you want us to stand before them and say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever, in the face of a fierce battle. And even though we see this in the scripture, and oftentimes we have overlooked this, when you look at it and take this eyewitness account tonight, you will see that by all human accounts, it sounds crazy. You want us just to praise God, and you want us just to talk about how great he is. And the moment that our enemies see us, they are going to advance upon us, and they are going to do whatever it is they have come to do, and we are going to be destroyed and annihilated, and you want us to praise God? That's exactly what God is saying to you and I in this season. It is going to take another dimension, not a level, my dear Diosa. It's going to take a dimension of praise and of worship. It is going to take another dimension of how you worship God and how you seek God and how you fast and how we consecrate. It is going to take that in order for us to be in the throne room of heaven, in order for us to sit at the round table of strategy, to receive strategy from God. You must understand and know that even while we're sleeping, not just in our waking hours, but even while we're sleeping, the enemy and his hierarchy have a strategy that they are taking out against us before we even start our day. There is a roundtable discussion, and your name is at the helm of the table. It is an assignment to be carried out against you to hinder you from moving forward in the things that God has called you to do. Perhaps a phone call stops you from entering into a time of prayer and worship with God because it is something that's devastating news. Perhaps you wake up and you're not feeling well. There are many things that the enemy will put in place to hinder us from coming into that throne room to receive the strategy that we need from God. But God is simply saying, in order for us to receive the miracles that he has for us individually, household-wise, community-wise, ministry-wise, body of Christ-wise, we must receive strategy from God, and we can only receive it when we change our mindset from relationship to religion and we seek him in a manner that he's calling us to like we've not done before. What do I mean by that? When God wakes you at 2:30 in the morning, do you get up or do you sleep? When God moves and shifts you to get up out of your bed at 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 1 a.m., keeps you up and at 12 midnight or a little after 12, says, now the Holy Spirit says, I want you to come and pray, and said, but I'm tired. When do we really yield and surrender to God? They surrendered to him, and they didn't ask questions. And it says, when they begin to sing and when they begin to praise, it is then that the Lord showed his hand on their behalf. When we begin to do exactly what God has assigned for us to do, and it starts with receiving strategy, and that starts with how we worship God, how we praise God, how we seek God, and how we enter into his presence. It is then that God gives us the strategy that we need to receive the miracles that he has for us and to help us to see the victory that God has given to us. And so when it says here in verse number 25, when Jehoshaphat and the children did what God had given them to do, it is then that they were able to take away the spoil, everything that the enemy had, everything that their enemies had, everything that they brought with them. And they brought in, seems like, their entire household and all of their belongings with them. And all of these were good things, great things that they did not have. God gave it to them because they were obedient to the positioning that God had required of them in the midst of one of the fiercest warfares and battles they had experienced yet to date. We have to understand that no matter how much bad news we get in this season, as we're closing out of 2020 and we're going into 2021, my dear brothers and sisters, I understand that many of us want to say that 2020 is going to be greater, it's going to be better. God is going to do A, B, C, X, Y, Z. Things are going to change. Things are going to shift. I must remind you, and I would be remiss if I did not, we are in the midst of a very critical season where God's prophetic word is being fulfilled, because the United States of America has been disobedient to the will of God, the word of God, the things of God, by allowing certain things and many things to happen. We're in the midst of some very crazy things that, because we are in this land, we will experience it to a certain extent, but we must make sure that we continue to maintain our dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. This is a time that we do not have to look or play or pretend, but we must be serious about the relationship with God, serious and earnest in seeking him for strategy for the next move of God and the will of God in our lives as we're closing out this year and we're entering into 2021, that we may have a flint focus, meaning that we're focused on the things of God no matter what comes. God said to Moses, and I remind you again, when I see the blood, I will pass over. When God sees the blood, when he looks at you and I, if we are in a relationship with him, we are blood bought and blood born. He sees the blood and he passes over. One of the prayers that I pray every day, God, protect us, hide us in plain sight. Listen to me when I say this. Keep us in plain sight, hide us and keep us in plain sight from being racially profiled, mistakenly identified, and falsely accused by government officials, highway patrolmen, police officers, racist individuals, racist groups, stray bullets, ricochet bullets, intended bullets. Cover and protect us. Can I tell you that God has shown himself more times than I can even share with you on tonight, that he has shown and confirmed to me, daughter, I have hidden you. I've hidden you in plain sight as you requested, because you trusted me and you asked this thing of me. When we open our mouths and seek God for the things that we want, we must be in a place and position in him. We must posture ourselves in relationship with him. We must be rooted and grounded in him and be earnest with an expectation that God is going to do exactly what he said he is going to do. What God has for you, what you've been trying to obtain, what you've been trying to receive from God, what you have desired from God, God is ready to give that to you, because the heavens are open unto us in this very critical season. But you must learn how to bring that into the manifestation, into the earthly realm, and that is simply by having a strategy that God wants to give to you by way of his Holy Spirit and by his word. There was no way that Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel were going to be able to receive what God had for them had they been disobedient to the very simple strategic strategy that God had given to them. It seemed crazy, but it was a simple strategy. When we praise God, when we worship God, we send shockwaves into the spirit realm that causes the enemy and his hierarchy to flee or to tremble or to be uneasy or not at rest, because we are standing on the foundational truths of God. And we must get this in our minds. If nothing else tonight, you must understand this is your defining moment and this is your defining season of now. God has called you for such a time as this. There are miracles that are waiting to happen on your behalf, on behalf of your household, your family, your community, your ministry, the ministry in which you are involved in. But you must understand, in order to receive and obtain that, to see the signs, the miracles, the wonders, the healings, the deliverances, you must have strategy. There are miracles in the strategic strategies that God wants to give to us. Think about where you are in your relationship with God. Think about where God is trying to take you by way of his word and his Holy Spirit. Think about where God has been trying to pull you into by way of his Holy Spirit. You've felt the drive, the pull. You've heard the voice of God. Many of us have not totally adhered or surrendered to it. And God is saying, daughter, son, I need you to surrender to what I'm telling you and what I'm trying to show you so that you can be victorious and receive the miracle so that you can see my hand at work in the midst of what is happening in this season now. I pray that you got something out of this on tonight. I pray and I admonish and challenge you to go back and look at chapters 19 and 20 of 2 Chronicles. Look at what God is saying to you individually and look at what God is saying to us, a body of believers. There are miracles in a strategy or any strategy that God wants to give to us. The greatest strategy that they had was to sing praises to God, to worship him, to show the beauty of his holiness and the greatness of his power. And what happened was that their enemies began to fight among themselves. They annihilated one another in totality. And then when they were annihilated, everything that they had that belonged to them, God gave it to them. God gave it to Jehoshaphat, and God gave it to his people. And it was so much until it was 3 days, not one day, not 8 hours, but 3 days. We're talking about 3 days that it took them to carry away the goods, and it was an abundance. What is it that you want to need from God in this season? God says the heavens are open unto my people, and I'm waiting for them to hear me, and I'm waiting for them to seek me. But you got to come higher. The levels that you've been remaining in, the outer courts that you've been remaining in, God says, I need you to come in closer. I need you to come up higher. Strategy waits for you, and God will bless you. God bless you. I'm turning it back into the hands of you, Bishop. I thank God for the opportunity to share the word with you. I pray that you got something out of it on tonight.
Okay, well, I know this. Hallelujah. Excuse me. Hold up. Doctor, doctor, pastor, teacher. Mentor, advocate, sister, friend. Yes. We got something out of it. We got something out of it.
Amen.
Yes, we did.
Amen.
I know I did, and that's
Amen.
Why I'm a hush, and I'm gonna turn it over to come on and pull in my spirit alive family to touch and agree. And if any of you would like to have that's in the studio or in the chat rooms, if you would like to, you have a question, you want to just say, you know, as to how much you enjoyed Dr. Mathis, and I encourage that, because I don't care how many degrees we get, how much we do, you know, everyone needs to hear love through words of encouragement. Okay, so
amen.
You know, so and the way this works is I'm going to address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. Hallelujah. But I just want to say, and I'm not going to talk a lot because I'm so full right now, that yes, and you preached that your sermon was well taught, well preached, well received.
Amen.
And it doesn't need a redo, right? It doesn't need a redo. But I just want you
Amen.
To know how much I enjoyed it. I'm so glad I have a relationship, you know, and I know for myself how to go up to the master and receive the strategies. Hallelujah. Because we
yeah.
know that he is
Hallelujah.
The victory. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm laughing because I've been telling people and I've been, you know, saying to people, you know, we like to say that God is, you know, he's dealing with the finished work. And I said, well, if
mm-hmm.
you believe that, then how come you never pray into miracles? You know what I'm saying? Why
mm-hmm.
do we stop
yes.
short?
Yes. Yes.
You know, if you
That's
know
it.
He's already dealing with the finished work, whether you see it or not, it's going to be a miracle to you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, yes, Lord, would you please, just fix, just touch my back? No, Lord, heal my back.
Yes, Lord.
I don't like pain.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I don't care. And I know,
Amen.
Your grace, I know what your word says. Your grace is sufficient for me. But okay, Lord, I'm just saying, Lord Jesus, okay. I don't want to touch. Well, if you can touch it, you can heal it, huh? You know,
Amen.
What I mean? We do
Amen.
Little things that you
yes.
know, it's like
yes.
if we're in this love relationship with Jesus and he
mm-hmm.
and we know that he is just waiting to bless us, just wanting to bless us, just wanting to give us abundance. That's the only reason he came. We shortchange ourselves. You know, so I just want to thank you. You know, I just want to thank you for reminding us. You know, you're like, why are you shortchanging yourself? He's given us the tools. We have divine strategies. So why aren't we utilizing them on the daily?
Amen.
And not
Amen.
When we just get in trouble.
Only when we get in trouble.
And I
and
really like what you
that.
Said. You read. I really like what you said when you said, yes, and don't think for a moment that you, beloved, have the power to defeat the enemy. Because, you know, folks get it twisted,
right.
Sis. They get it twisted.
Yes. Bad place to be in. You should never be in that place.
They get it real twisted. Because you know what? He gonna say to look at us just like that demon looked at them sons of Sceva and said, Jesus?
Yes.
Okay, I know. Paul? I know.
Yes.
I'm even on record with the seven sons of Sceva now. And you do know what happened to them, don't you? You know what I mean? I'm going, come on, people.
Yes.
you come on. You know, I don't care
come
how
on.
Long you've been in Christ, how well you know your scriptures, you know, and I'm saying if you really, and I've actually heard servant leaders, you know, like, I'll just take that power right out of his hand. No, dear.
Ooh.
See, the real power is not giving it to him in the first place. Duh.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Apostle Zeta,
Amen.
Come on in the room. I'm your daughter, and you know
I'm here.
Amen. All right now. Come on.
That was a great message, and a message that needed to be brought out, a message that needed to be heard. Praise God.
Amen.
And it made me think about those 20 weeks that you and I, I'm talking about Bishop Shirley Cook, we went 20 weeks on strategies and spiritual warfare a while back, and I sure have been reaching back and getting those strategies lately.
Amen.
And they sure are working for me. Last month, I can say, I can attest for that I did have a miracle last month, and it was like
Amen.
It had to happen. And it happened.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
So I was listening to all that she said, you know, talking about, you know, this season, if we pay attention to it, it is very different. And I mean, you know, we don't have to pay much attention to this one to see. But it is different. And the enemy is coming much more fierce. And because he is coming much more fierce, then we need to, like she said, step it up. Hallelujah.
Step it up.
We need to go higher. We need to go deeper. Praise God. We need to reach back and grab that we know. Grab that we've heard, taught, read, you know, and that even the prophets have spoken, you know, that we will receive what
Say
God
that.
Really wants us to have. And you know, we need to see more miracles. I mean, we're in a time now where we need. I've stopped asking for just certain things to happen, but I said, Lord, you just
do it in
make
a miraculous
it be a miracle. Nothing shorter than a miracle.
Nothing. I want miracles. Nothing short of miracles. Amen.
More and more. In this season, praise God. And then, you know, we have to be ready. We have to be obedient. Like she said, this is a critical time,
a critical
season. You know, we can't just be mediocre. Things go as usual. Things be like they used to be because they're not.
Right.
And even the things that we do, we have to go at it in a different way, praying for our protection at all times. Hallelujah. Being ready for the next move that Satan may make, you know, and being rooted and grounded and all of these things, because we see in this passage that she shared with us tonight what really happened. Yeah, the people, there was more of them, you know.
Yes,
there was
yes.
Hallelujah.
But, they were
but we have to remember
but God.
Who we have in us and the one that's standing with us in the battle. Praise God.
That's
because
right.
the battle
now.
Is his. But we have certain things that we have to bring forth out of our own selves
Amen.
That he has already taught us, that he's already given
that's
us.
Right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
We've
Thank
already
you.
Been prepared. And so we just need to put it in action.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I could say more, but I know others.
I'm trying to be good myself because she brought out so many good things, and it's hilarious because
Amen.
I'm going.
We have to look at this in a global situation, not just be satisfied.
Yes.
There are times
you.
That we are truly blessed, but we can't be just satisfied with me and mine. Like she said,
That's
you know,
right.
we got
That's
stuff
right.
to do out in our communities. We got to make a difference.
Yes.
You know,
take
care of the homeless. Take care of those out there that are unable,
the afflicted, the hurting, all of those. Amen. And I love that. I love that. Because, see, we too here at Spirit Alive, No Bounds of Spirit Alive is also a fivefold ministry. So we know, we have always said that God is concerned about the whole man. You know, that's one of the things I loved about Dr. Anisha. It's like, yep, she's my sister, all right. We say the same thing. There's another.
Amen.
And see, in the body of Christ, that's a beautiful thing because we're supposed to be saying the same thing. We've got the same manual, the Bible.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what we should be saying and doing the same thing in our own personality and in our own way. I'm going to address something that I just saw in the chat room, and then I'm going to go down to our wonderful apostle and prophetess Holloway in Arizona. To the young people in the chat room, when you heard apostle talk about she's not praying for anything short of a miracle, let me just also put on there, Apostle Zeta, she prays for things that are in the will of God. Babies, you can't go out and get yourself pregnant and then pray to God that something, somehow this child goes away. That's not a miracle. Okay?
Mm-mm.
You can't put yourselves in positions and then cry out to the Lord for a miracle. See, you can't overlook the fact that Jehoshaphat and his people were being obedient to God.
Right, exactly.
So in order for you to pray and expect miracles, you have to be, like Dr. Mathis said, you have to be in your position, at your station, doing what you are supposed to do so that the Heavenly Father will always have you in a place where there will be no need for you to have a miracle of a baby disappearing or, you know, not being pregnant anymore or, you know, your baby daddy get out of jail. Those aren't miracles that God honors. Okay? So what you do is remember the miracle worker every day of your life and you live for him every day of your life. You praise him every day of your life. Worship him every day of your life. Pray to him every single day of your life. And then you be obedient to what he tells you, when he tells you, how he tells you. Okay? And I say mm-hmm. that with all love. And I want to thank you for your courage of even saying something, writing something in there for me to see, sweetheart. This is not a condemnation. This is not a condemnation mm-hmm. whatsoever. This, I'm telling you this in love. Sweetheart, pray to the Lord for strength so you don't find yourselves in positions where you will feel such prayers are needed, okay? Okay, God bless you. Bishop loves you. All right. All right, saints of God. I don't get brand new because I have a radio network. You know, the whole point of this network is to minister to God's people. And it mm-hmm. blesses my soul that this is a venue where they can type what they want. And if they mm-hmm. want to say something, they can say what they want, ask what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Because how are we going to make disciples of people if we never find out where they actually are?
Bishop? I want to
yes,
add something to that because you said something very important, and I appreciate you sharing that. We must understand that not only what God has given me to share tonight, but we must also understand that for many of us, the generations that are coming up after us, they have missed the mark, not because they
mm-hmm.
chose to be done so, but because many of us in our generation and generations before
have not
us
trained them.
Have been busy focusing on ourselves and have not trained them.
There you go.
Is the defined generation, and they have
yes.
been defined and marked by God to do some things that we can even possibly think of doing because God has assigned them to do so. But it is
yes.
our responsibility for the 11:59 hour that we have left to love them, to train them, to teach them, to mentor them, to grow them up in the things of God. Our generation
yes.
after us, the young people, have been handed on a silver platter with gold trimming. Hear me when I say this. They've been given religion and not relationship. What do I mean by
there
that?
There you go.
We have
there you go.
Up in church, and we have expected for them to praise God and worship God and do the things that they're supposed to do and love God and serve him wholeheartedly, but we've not given them
But they
that.
Haven't
we've
trained them. They
religion.
Haven't taught them how.
We haven't
They haven't taught
them
how.
We haven't taught them. We have taught them other things. We've taught them how to gossip. We've taught them how
That's
to steal Sunday school money.
Come on,
we've
how to dress.
How to sleep around. We've taught them how to whore around. We've taught them how to lie. We've taught them
Come
how
on.
To go after positions. We've taught them
Manipulate.
Everything but relationship with God. We've taught them how to go home and drink and party and do things and then show up to the house
like
of God like everything
to
is
do.
Real. We have taught them many things. But we have not talked about relationship. And we are remiss in this
Ooh.
And the responsibility that's on us. I have a heart for the young people and teens. Most of those don't
Amen.
Care and they don't like them. They don't have time. But we forget that we was once a hot mess. As a apostle,
exactly.
she's
right.
known me as her daughter before I got saved. And I was
Amen.
Not okay. That was not okay.
I heard that,
and so,
I heard
you know,
that.
We listen to the Bless things
God.
That they say, and we need to utilize that as a tool of how to mentor them. They are telling us how to
yes.
mentor them by showing us the things they're experiencing, but we've had none of it. We're responsible, and we must be accountable.
That's right.
And
Amen.
We must be about our Father's business with this, period.
Amen.
I just have to share that.
No, that's all. That's wonderful
that's
because,
good.
You know, we got time. We have time, and we're gonna because we're gonna move on down to the Holloways, and then after that, if you two ladies won't mind, I'm going to ask that we say a special prayer for Apostle Holloway, just to keep him and a Prophetess Holloway, because they are
mm-hmm.
in. You know, they are about to, you know, they're embarking on a new season right now. The Lord has them resting as they well should be. And you know, we just want to keep them lifted up because just like
yeah,
people don't pay attention to our children, a lot of people don't pay enough attention to me for our elders and the ones that
yeah.
are, you know, rightly dividing the word of God. That are
that's
doing.
My other soapbox.
Amen.
And the Holloways have given tremendous gifts and tremendous teachings and great ministry work to the body of Christ. This I know. And so when we forget about them, we are standing up on and resting up on their foundational
on their shoulders. And how are you going to forget them?
We can't afford to do that. We would not be where we are if they had not taken the time to teach us and minister to us. And many of us have been touched by the Holloway's ministry by coming in contact with others.
Amen. Well, I'm going to go down and hear from them. We're going to go now to the man and woman of God, Apostle Holloway, Prophetess Holloway. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. God is just so good, and we just thank the Lord for all of you and for praying for us and lifting us up in prayer. We just thank God tonight for the word of God and God's goodness and his mercy. We just thank God for strategies in God. And we thank God that even in this new season, as we lay before God, that God gives us strategy on this next part of our ministry and our life. And we thank God for you that would make personal calls to us and pray for us. And as I listened to the message tonight, and as you were saying, Dr. Mathis, about God is not our sugar daddy I call it the bailout crew. God just doesn't want to be just the bailout crew. When we've gotten ourselves into something or something happened and we want things to happen our way, he's not a bailout crew, but he's on our side every day as we seek him. And we were talking about this yesterday, as we live holy. As we live holy, God has made promises to us about living his way righteously, doing things the way he wants us to do them. So I enjoyed the message, and I know Apostle has something to say, but we really enjoyed the message on the strategies of God. And we have to have that even in the marketplace ministries, you know. So thank you so much for your ministry, Dr. Mathis, and God bless you. And here's a pass.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to say to Dr. Mathis to encourage her.
Yes. Amen.
You were on the same line, on that spiritual same line that's hooked up with heaven, because that was my scripture that I was going to minister on next Friday. So therefore, that means I've got to turn around and figure and seek God for another strategy. We last Sunday, I preached a message which was similar. Not the strategy, but getting close to God. And last night, we had to minister to somebody, and we ministered this chapter to her. She's in a dire strait, and I had to put the time out. Sign up, and I had to get into another mode of madness. The scripture says, "Be angry, but sin not." As I was mad at the devil, how he tricks our people.
Yes.
He tricks them. They, like you said, religiosity, and they don't know. They don't know that they've got power. They've got power with God. They got power. When we see God, we see the anointing, we see the Holy Ghost. We've got power. So I wanted to encourage you that you right on the money. That was the it. That was the it.
Yes.
You said what's needed in the body of Christ, because we do all we go to church every Sunday and we jump and shout and we leave the same way we came. No,
Amen.
No holiness.
Yes.
And no, and that haven't received what I need. I'm in a dire strait. I need a word. I need to know that God loves me. My son is in the drugs, and I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the strategy is we seek God.
Mm-hmm.
The old mothers used to get it down by the bedside, and they cried. And they kept on crying until the wee hours of the morning. And they called on God, to God to move.
Yes.
That was their strategy. I know my mother, when I was in Vietnam, my mother was on her knees crying out to God for me. So I just wanted to encourage you that you were on the same line. We were on the same hookup line. So I've got to go back to God and get another strategy.
Amen. Praise God.
Back
to
the Bishop.
Amen. God bless you, Bishop.
We have a lot coming up in the new year, praise God. And I am looking so forward. Spirit Alive's tag for this year and for the next year is we will get it done in 2021.
Amen.
We are going to reach more souls for the kingdom. We are going to be doing more ministering, and we are talking about to the whole man, and we're gonna break it down. If it takes 20 weeks, if it takes 10 weeks, however many weeks it takes, we're gonna break it down so we know that you know that we told you.
Amen.
And so I'm praising God for Dr. Anisha, because she will be coming in the upcoming year with her series of teaching. We don't know if it's going to be a symposium, it's going to be conference. We don't know what God's going to call it yet. We just know it's coming. Amen.
Not yet.
So
it's coming.
With that,
amen,
it's coming. That's all I got to say. You heard it here first. Hallelujah. But I'm going to ask Dr. Anisha, and we've got about 10 minutes left, so I'm going to ask the Apostle and Doctor, would you both pray over the Apostle and Prophetess, and I will close the program. So take about a few minutes, and then I'll close the program.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you on tonight, and we just thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to come before you, God. We lift up, oh God, possibly lift up the bishop on tonight, oh God. We pray, Father God, for the Holloways, that you would minister to them greatly, oh Father God, that you would minister to them and strengthen them, that you, Father God, would allow them, oh God, to see your heavens open unto them and upon them, that your favor and your countenance will be upon them in the days and the weeks and the months to come, that you would meet every single need, and that you would give them strategic strategy for every blessing, every miracle, that you would open doors. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would give them favor, Father God, in abundance.
Yes,
God.
Lord.
Not only with you, but with me.
That
you would cause others to remember their labors of love and the deeds that they've done and that they continue to do for others. That you will cause men and women, boys and girls, literally to give into their bosom, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, that you would meet every single need, Father God, before they ask, that is already done. That you would bring strength into their hearts, into their bodies, into their minds, into their spirits.
Yes.
They caught our votes that day.
Yes, Lord.
God, we decree this and declare it as
Lord.
Being so. And we thank you for the manifestation of it, even on tonight, oh God. Even on this
Lord.
Oh God. That your glory, God.
Yes.
Will shine upon them, and that your favor and open doors will be unto them and upon them.
Yes,
God,
Lord.
We honor you. We bless you. We thank you on tonight that it is so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes. Amen. Apostle Zeta.
Amen.
Amen.
Father God, we just thank you for what has gone forth tonight, and
At this point, Lord, we're going to lift up the Holloways, Apostle Holloway and Prophetess Holloway, asking, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way in the name,
Lord,
of Jesus. Lord, you know all about it. You know that some of the things that they're faced with right now, hallelujah, even on tomorrow, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we're praying that
all
is well. In the name of Jesus, Lord, go before them. In the name of Jesus,
Lord.
Oh God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, we speak healing over them. In the name
right
of
now.
Jesus, hallelujah, we speak miracles over them. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, and we command that whatever scheme, plot, hallelujah, plan, or whatever Satan had in mind, hallelujah, it's canceled right now. We call it
in
null
the name
and void
of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. In the name
man.
Of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes,
the things that
God,
will happen for them will be the very things that God already had in mind for them.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, for even a good report. Hallelujah. In
Jesus'
name.
Jesus.
In the name of
hallelujah.
Jesus. Because you are the greatest physician. You are the great. Hallelujah.
Yes,
you are the great I am.
Amen.
And so, Lord, we know that the things that they have put before you, hallelujah, will happen, will take place
in
Jesus'
name.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
In your holy name.
Doubt.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We believe you, and we know what you can, and we know what you will do in Jesus' name. And we thank you,
Amen.
Lord. We thank you for the miracle. Hallelujah. We thank you for all of the things.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord,
we are
Amen.
Calling them tonight
hallelujah.
For them. Hallelujah. Everything that they desire and everything that the Lord already have designed for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Father God, I just want to thank you for all that we have heard on tonight. Thank you for the mighty woman of God who brought forth a rhema word. Father God, I'm so glad and so grateful that she has been placed in our presence, Lord God, placed on our journeys,
Lord.
Father God, because, Lord God, we just so love her and we so want you to continue to bless her. Lord God, make everything, hallelujah, everything that she desires to do in your holy and righteous name. Hallelujah.
Lord,
make it straight.
Yes.
Make it straight forth. Hallelujah. Lord, just continue to bless her. Exalt her, Father God. Set her up on a high place, Lord God. Reward her for her obedience, Lord, and her love of you, God.
Mm-hmm.
I pray this and all other things in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And we bless your holy name. You have been listening to Taking It to the Streets. I'm your host. And the owner, operator of the Spirit Alive Network. And I just want to say thank you to all of you who listened in on tonight. We just pray that you continue to walk with us here on the Spirit Alive Network. Tomorrow you can listen to Dr. Lester Carver for Tuesday night teachings. On Wednesdays, you can listen to Sister to Sister with myself and Evangelist Michelle Scott. On Thursdays, we have Wounded No More. Hallelujah, because we are overcomers in Christ Jesus. On Fridays, we have Every Man Standing in His Place. And on Saturdays, we have The Summit. And then on Sundays, we're back to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. So for more about us and our times, you can simply go to Google, type in our network, and all of our information will come up. Once again, we're so glad that you joined us. We pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. Have a beautiful and blessed week. And from our household to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you. Thank you, everybody. You are awesome.
You, and we love you.
God bless you. Hey.
Love you.
Love you.
God bless you.